is the morning show. I'm Shereen Seward. People across America are stocking up on fireworks as the 4th of July holiday nears. But did you ever think about how they're made? What gives them their color, their light, their shine? Join in, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Nathan Duncan is an associate professor of chemistry at Maryville College in Tennessee. Nathan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning.
Well, 4th of July just around the corner, and we're all thinking about fireworks. So what are the most common ingredients that are found inside a firework?
So I guess it depends on if you're talking about what the use of the firework is, but essentially most of them come down to a combination of ingredients that have been used for, well, at this point, millennia, of that make up black powder, which consists of charcoal, sulfur, and potassium nitrate, or sometimes called saltpeter in its mineral form. And depending on the ratios of those chemicals, you can make propellants that maybe will lift a rocket or lift a shell into the air, or something that burns a lot slower that produces smoke effects. But that's generally what the base of all fireworks are made out of.
Is the black powder that we use now pretty much the same as what they used hundreds of years ago? I mean, you said we've been using the same thing for millennia.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are when you look at some of the oldest written records of black powder, which come from China, probably about 700 AD, I think, maybe is the oldest. Sometime around there, the oldest written records, they had several different recipes for different black powders that did different things. And essentially, looking at them from a modern context, it really hadn't changed that much as far as like the overall chemical composition. I think our processing methods maybe have changed a lot, but fundamentally, not really.
It's so interesting, you know. I mean, when you think about how long this technology has been around, what role does each firework component play in making it explode?
Well, so let's start with the last part there. So with the part that makes it explode, you typically use a mixture that has a very fast rate of combustion, for that. We use black powder a lot. A lot of times in smaller fireworks, we use another chemical mixture called flash powder, which is a little bit different. It uses aluminum, like finely ground aluminum powder as its base, and then an oxidizer. And it's a lot more energetic, and it's also a lot less stable. But it's more of a newer invention that's used sometimes to make the sounds. Or the reports, as we call them, and you back off your black powder from a mixture where it's not quite so oxidizer rich to where it doesn't necessarily explode, and then you have what would be called a propellant, and a propellant is used just for that. It's for propelling the firework. So you could make a solid rocket fuel for something like a bottle rocket. With your propellant mixture, you could also make what we would call a lift charge, and that would be what you would shoot a shell up in the air out of a tube to, you know, to get like those big stars displays like you see at professional fireworks displays, or, you know, they have much smaller versions that you can buy at fireworks stands. And then if you go a little bit less oxidizer rich and you have a little bit extra charcoal or sulfur in there, then you get into the mixtures that primarily produce smoke. And any one of those mixtures, but primarily the mixtures that are for bursting or exploding or propellant charges, those mixtures, you can also incorporate other chemical elements to get those colors that the color effects that you see.
We'll circle back to those colors for sure. You mentioned bottle rockets. They've got a time fuse in there, and that is what allows people to light it and walk away. So how does a time fuse actually work?
So with those, the fuses, there's a lot of different types of fuses that are used in fireworks. And some of them are ones that burn very fast. Some of them are ones that burn much slower. And the manufacturer creates them in specific ways so that you know exactly, you know, how many feet or, well, they normally do it in feet per second or something like that, that the fuse will burn once it's lit. And so for something like for many fireworks, they have ones that are a little bit on the slower end of things so that you have time to safely get away. And the big thing with the bottle rocket is that inside that tube, the fuse has to go all the way up into the motor, which has hollow in the center, and that's how it gets its thrust. But it goes through usually a clay nozzle that helps to direct the burning propellant fumes and that directs the thrust. And so because of that, that fuse actually has a lot longer to travel to get up to where it actually lights the firework from where you actually look. So it's not necessarily anything super fancy. It's just length of fuse. And the actual rocket is a little bit further up in the tube than you would probably tell because of that nozzle that's there.
We're talking about the chemistry of fireworks with Nathan Duncan. And he's an associate professor of chemistry at Maryville College in Tennessee. 800-642-1234. For your questions, you can also email ideas at WPR.org. Is there a way to repair a fuse safely if a firework doesn't light?
No, I mean, if you're buying fireworks from the fireworks stand, it's probably not ever a good idea to try to repair a fuse that didn't work or to try to get a dud to go off. That's usually a recipe for disaster.
If you get a dud, I would say no. Okay,
no,
if you get a dud, let it go.
The closest with, you know, I think with like probably some larger fireworks and stuff like that, people that make fireworks maybe would have larger amounts of new fuse on hand. And really the only way to really do that would be to replace the fuse. But most of the time you can't do that without damaging or destroying what you intended. It's better just to let it go.
Yeah. Okay.
And also if it does not go off, give it a little bit before you go and try to investigate.
By all means. Yes. So tell me, what chemical reactions are we seeing when we see fireworks launched? What's happening?
So the big thing that you're seeing is essentially oxidation and reduction. So combustion reactions. We're burning the charcoal fuel, carbon, and converting into carbon dioxide. And we're doing that in a really rapid way that's producing a lot of energy. And that energy is in the form of heat. That energy also, if we direct it, can produce a thrust, or it can produce a burst if it's really, really confined. So we take advantage of both chemistry and some physical phenomenon there to actually get the projectile up to an altitude where we can get an aerial display if that's what we're doing, or burst, you know, a firecracker on the ground if that's what we're doing. But there is a lot of excess energy in there. And so if we add other chemical elements like copper or barium or potassium or sodium or strontium, we can get different colors, because what's happening in those is those atoms of those elements that I just mentioned, they have electrons in the outer part of the atom, and they absorb some of that energy. And when they absorb that energy, those electrons get excited and they jump to a higher energy level, but they can't stay there. And so when they come back down, they have to release that energy, and some elements, when they absorb enough energy, they release that energy in the form of visible light. And it's really predictable based on which element you have in there. So strontium gives you that deep, dark, bright red. Sodium, which is found basically everywhere, you can't really get away from it, gives a yellow color. That's why if you light a candle, you see a yellow flame and not a blue flame, because there's just enough sodium in that wick and in the wax that you're actually seeing that effect there. Potassium gives a little bit of a purple color to it, copper blue, and barium green. And then by mixing those different elements at specific proportions, you can make just about any color of the rainbow. There may be some other elements that get used in some real specialty colors, but those are the big five that make up most of the color effects that you see in fireworks.
Have the colors really developed over the years, or are they largely the same as what they were years ago?
You know, the only thing that probably has changed with it is that you can add the, you know, they'll add different things to the mixtures to enhance them a little bit. So for instance, if you can get a little bit more of the element chlorine into the flame, that has a tendency sometimes to enhance colors with specific elements. But other than that, you know, the base formulas, we're using the same elements for the same colors as we have for a long time.
Michael wrote in to ask whether you have any concerns about fireworks being harmful to the environment with these chemical reactions.
So certainly there can be. So for instance, for a long time, NASA and the Air Force were using a lot of perchlorate-based oxidizers in some of their solid rockets for aerospace, military, et cetera. And perchlorates are known to have a persistent effect on the environment. And perchlorates have been used in certain types of fireworks. Depending on what you're using, there may be some elements that there are issues for that. I know that I want to say it was right before COVID started, there were a couple of calls for proposals that the EPA put out looking for scientists to kind of study that. And then I think something shifted. I don't know. I haven't followed up to see where that went, but it's certainly something that people have been and are and should be looking at. I mean, for most of the elements that you're using in there, not really something that are of huge concern, but there are some chemical components that we don't use, particularly some kinds of binders and adhesives that stick around or produce things that we don't want in the environment. And so it's something that the industry really has to look at. And then, you know, there's also the question of where your fireworks are mostly manufactured. If they're manufactured overseas, which a lot of the consumer fireworks are, they may have different environmental regulations as we do in the U.S. And so I imagine also on that side, got to look at what's in, what we're importing as opposed to, you know, folks that make their own in the United States.
Michael, thanks for writing in with that question. Nathan Duncan is an associate professor of chemistry at Maryville College in Tennessee. Plenty of time to call in, 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward. Fireworks displays are synonymous with Independence Day, and with the holiday approaching, we're hearing about the way fireworks are made and what makes them so spectacular. What are your favorite effects? Call us, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Nathan Duncan is an associate professor of chemistry at Maryville College in Tennessee. Nathan stays with us. So the American Chemical Society says fireworks have metal salts used in fireworks to create different colors. Why are the metals in salt form? We touched on the colors a little while ago.
That's two reasons. One, that's the most convenient way to handle them. Metals have a tendency, particularly if they're in contact with oxidizers, to oxidize, like iron tends to turn into rust. As I mentioned, when you make something like black powder, you typically have a lot of potassium nitrate in there, which is the oxidizer, and that will corrode most metals. So it wouldn't stay in that metal form. It would get oxidized anyway, but if your oxidizer is reacting with those metals, it can, that would obviously change your material and would alter the shelf life of your effects. So that's one reason, and it is a big reason, because typically you have, you think about it, we use a lot of fireworks over a small window here, but those factories are churning them out year round. They've got to be shelf stable. They've got to be stable that they can ship them overseas without anything happening to them. And when you start having metals oxidizing, you can have some bad things happen in terms of things automatically just igniting on their own and that kind of thing. So that's one reason salts are a lot safer in that form. The other reason is that if you think about another effect that we didn't talk about, and that is kind of those really bright effects, strobe effects. I mentioned that there's another type of material that's used in some fireworks called flash powder, but there's other mixtures too, where like metallic form of metals or metals in their elemental form are used. And when metals tend to burn, they tend to only produce white light. And so if you have metals that are actually igniting, rather than seeing the red color of strontium, that would be totally washed out by the white color of metallic strontium igniting. So that's the main reason, because you won't be able to get that effect unless they're in their salt form.
Okay. Some fireworks are loud boomers. Others have swirl sounds. So what's the science behind the sounds?
The sounds. Well, so part of it's going to be design, right? If you design your effect so that as the burn, like the whistles and screamers, those kinds of things are all based off of propellants, just like rocket fuel. It's just, they typically add something to it. And it's usually something simple, like some sort of organic wax of some type that changes the rate of its burn just enough that when that propellant is exiting through the nozzle, and you typically have specific diameter nozzles for this, it produces that high-pitched whistle or scream. Mm-hmm. The explosions, those are easy. You just have some sort of burst charge confined, and if it has nowhere to go, it goes out and it makes a pop because it goes quickly. The whistle sounds, those are a lot harder. Those are a lot trickier to make, but certainly a lot, they add a lot to a show as well. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the chemistry of fireworks with Nathan Duncan, Associate Professor of Chemistry at Maryville College in Tennessee, 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. So we talked about the color. We talked about the sound. What about the movement? You know, how can they create these different patterns in the sky? You get the ones that kind of look like big, waterfalls that are coming down, and then others are these bursts. So what's the difference in the movement?
The waterfalls, that is typically, it's something where you're seeing kind of a delay. Most of those are shells. So, it looks like they're anywhere between the size of like a baseball and a softball in a professional display. It shoots up in the air. There's a burst charge that causes that shell to burst open. And then you may have stars in there. And those are what we normally see in terms of like that firework pattern. But sometimes those shells also have a mixture of usually magnesium or aluminum metal flecks. And when those light, they kind of give that shimmering effect, kind of that waterfall effect as they fall back to Earth. And usually what's happening is that burst charge gets them hot enough to where that metal liquefies. And when the metal is hot and in a liquid form, it's really reactive. And it's actually, those are liquid droplets of metal that are reacting with oxygen in the air and igniting, and they do it slower. So it's not instantaneous, which is why we get that delayed and ripple and waterfall type effect. As far as sometimes when you get certain ones that look like as they're going up, they leave a comet trail behind them. That's normally something added to the propellant that allows you to see that. And then, of course, if you can figure out a way to get your rocket that may be carrying your shell or your shell itself to spin as it goes up, then you can get kind of that twirling effect as it rises up through the air. Some of the ones that, if you think about the ones that kind of look like, I guess like snakes in the air that are like kind of going random wiggly patterns. Those oftentimes are just short pieces of fuse that are just in there. And when those light, they're just kind of flying randomly, like a fuse that's not attached to anything, particularly like a real eighth inch fireworks fuse. When it burns, it produces enough force that it'll fly through the air, but it won't go in any direction. And so if you have a whole bunch of those bundled together and they light, they kind of look like those snakes that twirl and swirl and go in all kinds of weird directions. But that's a really simple effect. It's just short pieces of fuse.
It looks pretty cool. That's for sure.
It does.
Yeah. So we've got about a minute left. I guess, what's some last minute advice for people set to shoot off fireworks this year for the 4th of July? What should they be looking for? What should they avoid?
What the first thing is, they should be looking for a really safe open area where they have access to water, and to watch their weather and be smart about if there's heavy wind or if it's been really dry. I know in some parts of the country it's been pretty dry, and it's
been pretty dry here. Yeah,
it's been and it's one of those things. Do not underestimate the fireworks that you buy, yeah, they're small and they look like toys, but they've got enough chemical energy in there that they can start a raging fire very quickly. So you want to make sure that you have, you know, a bucket of water ready and a hose ready before something happens. And the other thing is that, you know, just to make sure that you got plenty of space so that you're not, you know, starting problems for other folks as well. So that's the biggest thing. The other one is to take your time with them and don't try to stack too many things together or you know, leave the complicated displays to the professionals. They're not tying fuses together
exactly.
And lighting. They're using electronic ignition systems, and so
great. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Nathan Duncan, Associate Professor of Chemistry at Maryville College in Tennessee. I'm Shereen Seward. Have a fantastic 4th of July. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.